First, on behalf of the entire parish, I wish all of you a very merry and holy Christmas to you and your families, all of our visitors who are here with us. As you arrived for Mass today, you should have received the book, The Biggest Lie in the History of Christianity. And this is a Christmas gift from the parish to you, to all of you, visitors included. It's through the generosity of a donor from the parish. And we hope that it inspires you to live life to the fullest. You may have seen that the book's subtitle is How Modern Culture is Robbing Billions of People of Happiness. And it's true, our culture does feed us with false promises and lies. But the biggest lie in the world is not the one that the world tells us. It's one that we tell ourselves. So this book exposes that lie and gives you the practical tools to cut through the confusion that's around you and reveals the one truth that is the key to experiencing more happiness than you ever thought possible. So I invite you all to read just a few pages a day in this new year and see how it infuses your life with meaning and purpose. But that's not all. You have another gift coming. Our second collection today is a reverse collection. Instead of putting something in, you get to take something out. It's not money, I'm sorry, but it is just as exciting. We invite each family to take a bookmark, introducing our new parish program called Formed. You will have free access to hundreds of movies and programs, inspiring talks, and ebooks. And Father Raymond described it as kind of like a Catholic version of Netflix or Amazon or something like that. So instructions for registering will be on the bookmarks. And it's important that we educate ourselves on this wonderful, awesome divine faith. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Because Christmas is beautiful. In a word, it's just beautiful. I mean, who couldn't fall in love with the story, right? You have the beautiful mother, the heroic father, the infant we'd all like to think didn't cry, right? The couple struggling to find a room. There was no room at the inn. You have the shepherds and the angels. And it's all just magnificent. The magnificent beauty of it all. But this magnificent beauty might also be its weakness. You see, the thought came to me recently through a question from a lifelong Catholic. Why would God create a baby, the question went, in order to die? Why not come himself to do it? Now, this can happen to any of us. If we stop learning the faith in eighth grade at confirmation or high school or whatever, we will always have a childish faith. We're supposed to have a childlike faith, that is, the way we have wonder and awe of God. But as St. Paul says, we put away childish things. We can't stay in that. We continue to grow up here, and we're able to grasp abstract thought. Our minds become adults. As I tell people, you would never have an eighth grader operate on you with brain surgery, would you? No matter how smart he or she might be. There takes another level of maturity and an ability to grasp bigger concepts, and that comes really in our 20s. And that's why we must revisit the faith. We must have, if you will, a second conversion. Otherwise, it will not make any sense. It'll just seem like a pretty story that doesn't seem very true if we don't understand why it is true. Because, of course, it's precisely the point. The baby is God. God did come himself, in fact. And so I think maybe, perhaps on this magnificent day, we should take a step back to see the bigger picture of what exactly God has done for us. The one God, who himself is not a being, he's not even a highest being, he is, in fact, existence himself. Our God has existed before all time, before all creation. There never was a time that he was not. No one created him. He has always been there. Without him, nothing is. This God is also, we know now, a relationship of divine persons, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And we know this one way is because we know God is love, and love always requires another person. It requires even sacrifice. Always. So it's this second person, God the Son, who is without beginning or end, as we heard in John's magnificent prologue here, that he existed before all things. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. That Word is the second person. And that second person was sent into time and became flesh in the womb of the Blessed Virgin Mary through the power of the third person, the Holy Spirit. Why? Well, we're told three reasons why. First of all, he comes to reveal the truth about God and us. Jesus said to Pilate before his crucifixion, "For this reason I was born, and for this I came into the world, to give testimony to the truth." And of course, the truth is a person. As he would say, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." Second thing, he came to make all things new. St. Paul tells us that through baptism, you and I become a new creation, a new creature. Jesus comes to heal this deep wound of sin that we all suffer from. More on that in a second. The third reason, the Father sent the Son so that we might receive adoption as children of God. St. Paul says, and St. John said that, and then he says, so that we can become partakers in the divine nature, from the letter of St. Peter. Partakers in the divine nature. God wants this for you and me. This God who has existed before all time, who created out of love a fiery beginning because he wanted to share that love, now wants to share that with you. But the first step for us is we have to understand that we need to be saved. If there's something missing from even a lot of Christians today, is that we really don't think we need a lot of saving. You know, we're doing pretty good. We like, you know, having the faith maybe, but I don't think I need to be saved. I'm a good person and all. But we all know something is not right. We all know something is broken. How many here actually like it when someone lies to us? When someone is outright malicious? When someone hurts us, either through words or even physically? Someone who breaks promises, says one thing, does another? Someone who's unfaithful, an unfaithful friend, or unfaithful in marriage? We hate this because we know it's not the way it's supposed to be. We know that it shouldn't be this way, that we were made for something better. And yet, if we're honest, how often have we done at least some of those things? How often have we thought the worst of people first, putting ourselves first, our interests first, our plans over others, even people we say we love? We are wounded. You just have to look at the news to see that. But we're all wounded. The first step is to admit we need to be healed, that we need to be saved. The second step is to embrace the Savior, the healer. The Savior, not the self. What this means, it requires from you and me a total abandonment to this divinity that has come to us. And we're afraid of this. There's a little piece of us that thinks, well, if I completely give myself to God, I'm going to lose myself. I'm not going to be me anymore. I'm going to be some maybe fanatic or something like that. The opposite is true. What did Jesus tell us? Seek first the kingdom of God. When we put God first, seek first the kingdom of God, he says, and all of these things will be added to you. When we give ourselves completely to God, we get everything in return. Because God doesn't merely want you to have an okay life on this earth. He wants you to have power, real divine power. Because Jesus, you and I, Jesus has joined us to himself, and he is the head, we are the body. And so therefore, that is how you and I can even now become partakers in the divine nature. We are not called to merely imitate the humanity of Jesus, doing good deeds, saying good things. We are called even to imitate him in his divinity. That is the beautiful thing. And it's a hard thing. That's why we have the sacraments. We need help in doing that. Supernatural grace comes to us. You can't do it. I can't do it. But God can. And he will feed you to be able to do this. True, lasting, ultimate, perfect happiness can be yours. It can begin even now. We call that heaven, but we can begin to embrace it even now. We celebrate the birth of our Savior as the visible beginning of the God who came to heal that wound so deep. And now he has asked you to share in the mission to make this story known, to leave here this morning, out from here, and to tell the world. The whole story is so much more than shepherds and angels in the little story laid out before us. We are not here to remember a nice story. We are here to be renewed in the mission to tell people about the amazing love that has changed the world and can change your life if you will let it. It's a mission that doesn't end in a birth, not a death, but in the very conquering of death, so that you and I can have real, lasting, eternal happiness, and no less than a share in the divine. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.